Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John, Lance, and Dell. Till 9:30, Raheel joins us at 9. We take you to Charlie Polillo at 11 right here on ESPN 97.5. All right, so what are you happiest about with the series so far?
Honestly, that Carlos Correa showed a little bit of life. The Carlos Correa looks like he's starting to get some confidence back. Honestly, that's the thing I'm most happy about. The balls on George Springer are just literally unbelievable. The fact that the Astros were about an inch and a half off of a bat, you know, of ball on bat from the game being tied after two outs and nobody on last night in the last inning against Kimbrel, that's incredible. But that's kind of what they do. But to me, I'm sitting there going, you know, Carlos Correa he's getting on base with walks. He's had some hits. He's starting to, even when he's getting outs, he's starting to see the ball and hit it a little better. Like, he looks like a way more confident guy. I'd say that might be it.
Correa, I like that. You know what? They didn't care. It's Sale. Now, Sale wasn't Sale.
No, but he hasn't been for over a month.
No, he hasn't been because of the injury. He doesn't have the velocity. Josh Reddick says, hey, he's a lot easier to hit when he's throwing 90, obviously. But they hit Price as well. That's not a problem. Those two, that being able to hit their starters, because they're going to get to their bullpen, right? I mean, they're going to get to their bullpen. Not worried about them hitting their bullpen, although last night the bullpen did a nice job against the Astros, Kimbrel notwithstanding.
Kelly's got some good stuff.
Yuli got a hit, which was nice. He came in on the Marwin. Yuli has not been swinging the bat well, so to see him get a hit was awfully nice.
He hit him in both games, right?
Did he get a hit in the first game?
Yeah, he drove in runs in the first game.
Wasn't it a home run? Opposite field?
Oh, yeah, he homered in the ninth. That was the cheapest home run ever.
That's a Carlos Lee homer.
No other baseball stadium would that be a home run. But
Tony
cool.
Kemp almost got one last night,
I know.
Night
he
too.
Almost got one, too. Awesome. Bregman's got the best eye in the world. I don't think there's any question about that.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
When he's not getting hit.
Yeah. And Martin Maldonado is coming through some, which is sweet. He's got a couple of hits. I know he's hitting $150.
Catching
50,
the ball
whatever.
Is going to be pretty good.
That would be great.
Catching a ball or stopping any. I mean, two pass balls. He had 13. This has been an issue for him in his career. Somebody sent me the number like, ooh, this isn't great. You know, the Astros are going to throw out pitching. Lance McCullers, Cole some, but McHugh will do it. They're going to throw out pitches that start at the start just above the knees and break into the dirt. You're going to have to handle this.
Verlander was doing it.
You got to handle this. This is that run that scored to make it six was ridiculous. Yeah. Lance McCullers was out there really dealing. He wasn't trying to throw fastball for strikes. He was trying to throw entice swing and miss fast, which he was. And Maldonado could. I mean, now I know why he's nicknamed Machete, because that's what he was behind the plate. It was like he's trying to catch it with a machete. It was a hatchet job back there.
Josh James not having a 100-mile-an-hour fastball is a little alarming. He only got to 96 last night.
What are you talking about? He hit 103 last night.
No.
Yes. Swear on Jesus. He hit 103. It was up and out of the zone. My son goes, Dad, Josh James just threw 101. I went in there. The next two pitches later, it was 103.
I got home and watched it. Sparky's on there talking with I'm driving back from the airport, and Sparky goes, oh, his velocity is off. No. 96.
He threw, I don't know what he's throwing something, but he was on the broadcast, yeah. It was 103. He hit 103 on the gun yesterday.
Okay, that's a bit more encouraging. Yeah, he threw a boatload of pitches. Rondon. Yikes.
Rondon.
Yeah.
That whole September was no joke. I mean, three pitches and gone. I don't know that you'll see him anymore.
No, I don't know that you will either. Well, you can't bring him in a tough situation.
Nah, no high leverage spots. He was bad for a month. I think they brought him back on the roster. Well, number one, I mean, you got to have more pitchers now, but I guess the Astros just are saying, look, let's bring him on. He's got a lively arm. He's had a good let's give him a shot here. And they're too deep with the pitching staff for them to have to worry about it. It's one of those things, if they get past this, you know, he may not be on that
Series roster. He won't be on the World Series roster. But do you think he's on this roster because he sat out and did not come out for the introductions at game one against the Indians?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean that he was disgruntled and he was pissed off and he made a statement saying, put me on the freaking roster. So they put him on the freaking roster and look what happened. The thought was that he was fixed by Brent Strom. His last two outings of the regular season were good. The thought was that he was fixed. Huh?
Who are they against? I can't even remember.
The Orioles. Well, that hitting machine.
Everyone's fixed against the Orioles.
Wait, that hitting machine you're worried about? Come on. Listen. It looked like Rondon was better. It looked like he was. Unfortunately, then you saw him here. Now, he hasn't pitched in a while. And did you see Kimbrel? Did you see the numbers on Kimbrel? When he doesn't pitch for two days, his ERA is 6.
Well, let me tell you something.
When 3 days or more, his ERA is over 6. Otherwise, it's 1.
AJ's going to make it where he doesn't pitch for a while again. Rondon. And I thought it was really interesting. So I'm watching the game with Sean Tier from my neighborhood, whose daughter is the one who does the baseball mm-hmm. picks. And I said, Mimi.
Who'd she pick?
Well, I asked her, I said, where's the action on tonight? And she said, oh, I don't make picks on Astros games. She's got, you know why? She doesn't want to be influenced. Like, I like that. I respect the fact that the little girl who picks baseball games, yeah, she doesn't pick winners. She picks against the number. She's 10, I think. She doesn't pick against the number. I mean, she picks against the number.
She doesn't pick right.
She doesn't just, I think the Astros will win. She's like, I like the Astros -1.5 and -130 here in this spot. Like, she'll play, well, not the Astros. She plays other teams.
Right, other teams.
But she said, I want the Astros to win, but I don't, you know, she won't get action on Astros games.
Well, I like that. Yeah, because she doesn't want to have to bet against her own team.
No, I get that.
I get that. That's sweet. That's totally sweet. So you watched it with her. That's great. Did she
well, no,
give that, you some insight?
I'm trying to get a beat on the Dodgers series.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to make some money on that
one. And what she got in that one?
But she said, let's see the matchup in game three. We got to wait and see. Okay. She wants to see how everything plays out. But no, what I was going to say is watching a game with him, and we're literally talking, you know, he's a real good baseball player, but we were talking back and forth in that, like, throughout the game. And the playing the game of what do the Astros do next from a pitching standpoint was a pretty interesting little game. It's a pretty interesting exercise with, all right, does Verlander go again? Because he came out and went another inning where I wasn't sure he was going to after he had the inning where he just inexplicably lost control.
Yeah.
I thought, this may be it. They brought him back out there, and they had Ryan Pressly up. And I thought, well, I guess they're going to go to Pressly. But, boy, you'd love to see Verlander get it back and come out and go one more inning. That's exactly what happened. But then beyond that, you're like, man, I don't know what they do here. Do they go Pressly, Osuna? Do they go, do they go Pressly two innings and then Osuna? Do they go, is Pressly's dealing your, you know, I'm sitting there, we're going back and forth. Does Pressly go two innings? Do you go two innings with them? Would you put Lance McCullers in a high leverage spot? I'd go McHugh. And going back and forth, he said, boy, when it got to be 5-2, he said, you'd love to see Josh James getting a game. I said, boy, it's still kind of a high leverage spot to take that chance. When it got to 7-2, he goes, I throw him out there. Get him his work.
Yeah.
Because the only other time you're going to get work is when it's not going good for you. and which is last night. It was still a two-run game when Josh James got in, but trying to figure out what the Astros will do with their bullpen is actually a little tricky this year, because I didn't know, at least at that time, how much confidence Skip would have in McCullers. Now I know. He's pitched in both of these games. What would he do with Rondon? Was he going to have confidence in Rondon? I didn't know that going into game one. I kind of know where he is probably now. So far, Osuna hasn't gone yet. So it's been interesting to see how he'll, you know, I feel very confident with McHugh. Very confident with McHugh. And he looked wicked the other day.
You know, listen, the thing with McCullers is, like you said, he's going to throw balls in the dirt, a bunch of them, to try to get you to chase. He doesn't have the command because he hasn't pitched in so long.
He doesn't locate fastball.
He can't do, you know, and that's so important. These guys have gotten so little work. That's one of the reasons that bullpens really fall apart. Not, you know, obviously everybody's a pretty good hitting team,
or you get too much work. That's the other one.
But
last year
during the regular season, now you get more regular work. Than you get now. Josh James hadn't pitched. Rondon hasn't pitched. Sip hasn't pitched. McCullers really hasn't pitched. All of these guys are now. I'll be interested to see Charlie Morton in Game 4. This guy hasn't thrown in weeks.
Yeah, you're hoping to get 5 out of Charlie.
Yes,
I would think.
Yes. So this is so irregular, which is why the hitters should be well ahead. I know it was cold out there, but the hitters should be well ahead of the pitchers right now. Even though you got great starters on the mound, look at what they're doing to him. I mean, Cole last night. I mean, they were hitting him hard.
Yeah, he did settle in, but yeah, they did. And David Price was, you know, David Price can he's still got some strikeout stuff when he needs to. But you can tell he just doesn't have that confidence, and he just his stuff isn't nasty. He doesn't have a nasty slider or anything that's just eating guys up. I mean, it wasn't really that. It's just he would hit up and in on the zone, or you know, the Astros. It was interesting to watch Boston attack the Astros with those high fastballs, and really more than a few Astros. They're not going to do it against Bregman, but they started going after guys with the high heat, and I think they can expect to see that as one of the out pitches, just because the Astros are good at spoiling bad pitches, but that high fastball was something some guys had a hard time hanging in against.
Yeah,
so it'll be interesting.
713-780-3776. You want to get in and talk about your Astros? You're more than welcome. The Texans won, unbelievable.
The drive to first is officially completed. Yeah. They've gone from 0-3 to 3-3. They're tied for first. Another clutch performance by the defense. Deshaun Watson continues to just kill people. His own team.
My fantasy.
In the red zone.
My fantasy team.
Yeah. Now his fourth interception in the end zone this year. Not great. Not what you want. The defense completely won that game for you. Well, that and special teams. Blocked punt turned into points. A muffed punt turned into points. That was the touchdown.
Offense is a well-oiled machine now.
And the defense got a pick six at the end against
Peterman. Yeah, but that didn't really matter. It's the offense that's churning along.
And another interesting performance in the red zone.
Yeah.
By interesting means something you don't usually see. First and goal from the one, can't get a touchdown.
Oh, no. You do.
Well, you do with a
down. See that. What do you mean? We see that quite
every
a bit
time.
Here.
You don't usually see it three consecutive series. Three straight times from the 1 yard line over a 2 game span. You don't usually see that.
No. 712 ESPN 97.
This play still, John, is not where you jump up and.
No, we're not doing that.
We don't believe in.
Jump up and do the ball over the ends with the quarterback. We don't do that.
We're going to get in the shotgun.
I like that.
We're going to get in the shotgun. 713-780-3776 if you want to get
snarky he was going to add just now.
What?
I was going to say, we don't believe in the whole, hey, you know, the shortest point between two thick. Distance is straight ahead.
No.
We don't believe in that straight ahead model.
Uh-uh.
We like to go to the side.
It's more like one of those Grand Prix of Houston racetracks.
Hey, why are we on a road course here?
No. We're going to jet sweep it.
You ever seen the next gen stats, what it looks like when the Texans are on there? It's just like it's either a bunch of squiggle lines that go backwards. It's not good.
All right. 713-780-3776. Your comments on what's going on right now on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Back here on ESPN 97.5, John and Lance along with Dell. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Astros lose. Play at 3:09 tomorrow. 3:09 game time tomorrow. They got the afternoon game while the Dodgers and Brewers get the night game.
Disrespectful.
Well, it's a little harder to get the have the Astros, to have the Dodgers as a day game. That'd be like a, that's a noon game there, or a 1 o'clock game there at 3 o'clock here. So that's probably a little bit tougher, although they're going to do that. The schedule, the Astros will be playing the night game tomorrow, not tomorrow night, but on Wednesday night. So here's the deal is this, is that we get, you get the 7:39 game on Wednesday, 7:09 game on Thursday. Thursday, the National League is off. But they got the day game Wednesday. Did the Dodgers, and you know, that if it's needed. But this should be the night game every single time. This should be the Astros, and I mean, come on, Astros Red Sox versus Brewers Dodgers.
The Dodgers are on the West Coast.
Yeah, who gives a rat's ass? Anyway, so this series tied at one game apiece, while our Texans are 3-3. And listen, however they did it, whoever they did it against. Now, the Dallas Cowboys look like a pretty good football team, Lance. Okay. Did you see them put up 40 against the Jaguars?
They smashed
your
Jags.
Team to win the AFC.
I do think that the Jags will win the AFC.
You still think that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you
who,
really?
Who do I see winning it?
The Chiefs or the
Patriots? No, I'm sorry. The AFC South.
Oh.
The AFC. AFC. Bortles is just too much to overcome, it looks like. But, I mean, the defense got their asses kicked yesterday.
Yeah.
The defense got annihilated. And there's no way around it.
By an offense that's really...
pretty
really?
Pedestrian.
Pedestrian. He threw for another 173 yards or whatever
Cole
yesterday.
Beasley went to work.
He really did.
On the Jags. You know, that's the Aaron Colvin position that they attacked. Cole Beasley. I don't know who was guarding Beasley. I didn't watch that game. I just saw the numbers roll in on them. Jags just aren't trustworthy. On the other hand, Pat Mahomes doesn't have a care in the world. Not a care in the world.
Well, he did in the first half. In the second half, holy crap.
Just like Denver game?
Yeah. Well, go ahead and try.
I mean, he is clearly, with all due respect to DeShaun and Mitchell Trubisky, he is, I think that
although Mitchell Trubisky's playing pretty well.
Let me tell you something. That whole, this is why you got to let quarterback stuff play out. Dak was the second coming until reality set in. And now, I think Dallas knows that. Now, that was a good game yesterday. You want Dak to be able to do that. And he's going to be a game manager, so you want him to just be better at managing if he's a game manager.
Well, when they run the ball like that, it's, you know, how are you going to stop
him? But he also ran for almost 100 yards yesterday.
Yeah, no. But, well, and that was the plan, right?
It's funny, which you kind of have to do some extra things with Dak. But, John, I mean, you know, we thought DeShaun was the literally the second coming and the savior. He's got 7 interceptions this year. He had 8 last year. His on-pace interceptions was close to 20. It's at 20 again. And 4 of them in the end zone and a red zone. He's still got a lot of learning to do. With that said, when you look at Trubisky versus Watson versus Mahomes, last year it looked like none of these guys are going to catch DeShaun Watson. Now, you know, there's an argument that DeShaun could end up being the third best of that, which I'd still take because this looks like a pretty good class.
But well, this year he's third. There's no argument. No, Trubisky's playing better than he is.
Trubisky has played. Now, my number one quarterback coming out that draft was Trubisky, and then DeShaun, and then Mahomes. What Mahomes is doing right now, I mean, I can tell you right now, I feel extremely confident that even though this is Mahomes' first year as full-time starter, he's got so many weapons around him. He's got such a great quarterback guy in Andy Reid. And Mahomes has just, he's very, very sharp. I remember Brett Veach told me after the draft, Brett was the player personnel guy. He's the GM now that Dorsey's gone. And I said, what y'all like about Mahomes? And he said, well, how'd he handle the board? I mean, did he understand the pro concept? The board meaning they draw things up. He goes, no. He didn't know the pro concept going in from Texas Tech. He said, but how quickly he learned it was incredible. Andy would show him some stuff on the board. He said, we saw him later on, and he would started asking him questions, and he said Mahomes knew everything. He had retained everything. They said, we knew Mahomes would be – he said, we know. He didn't say we knew. We know he's going to be very, very smart as a football player. Now, this is right after the draft. And they said, we're just hoping that he never has to come into a game. We hope Alex Smith never gets hurt because we don't want to bring him in. We want him to sit the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want – Tyler Bray, we want to get in before before we have to go to Pat Mahomes. There's a plan they had in place. And their plan ended up paying some dividends, and Pat Mahomes looks extremely smart, extremely confident, and has a – I mean, when you have Tyreek Hill –
Well,
it's just not even fair.
Well, and that's, did you see Harmon turning the wrong way? He was scared to death.
You can't, if you make one misstep against Reek, it's over.
And it was, and that was, and then he wasn't even in the picture. It was McCourty that actually was able, Harmon was just lost. And it, that's what Tyreek Hill does. But those, that weapon, like you said, the weapons, okay? I mean, nobody has more weapons. When you're talking about Kelce, Hill, Hunt,
Watkins.
I mean, it is. It's stupid.
Chris Conley has some deep ball speed, big receiver. It's just not even. I mean, and then this kid has a laser for an arm. The young quarterbacks are. You got to make. I think you got to take. I just don't think New England. Look, the defense isn't good enough for Kansas City either. What it boils down to is New England. The two best teams are probably played yesterday, and. The only reason that New England's even in that conversation is because Tom Brady's that good. Because Gronk doesn't look like the same player this year at all.
No, but he made a couple of big plays at the end.
But Josh Gordon is going to be a problem when he's fully healthy and playing, if he gets fully healthy. And Sony Michel looks good.
The
combination of White and Michel, it feels like the perfect backfield combination that New England's ever
had. Edelman will get going later. And,
they just don't have a secondary, though.
They're fine. Yeah. Well, listen, who's playing defense in the AFC, though?
Texans. Shut down the Cowboys. Shut down the Bills. No one's shutting down the Bills these days.
Would they have won that game if Josh Allen doesn't go out?
Shut down the Colts. Well, shut down, but yeah. Josh Allen wouldn't do anything.
Well, but he wasn't
Peterman
throwing.
Threw a touchdown.
He wasn't throwing that Peterman, pick six.
Peterman scored seven.
Or that other.
Gave seven. He ended up as minus was a zero.
Threw a couple, but okay.
Yeah, but he literally gave you 7 points.
Yeah.
I don't know if Josh Allen would have ended up throwing for a touchdown. I just know this. The defense won that game for you. You were given, the special teams got you 10 points. You're given another first and goal from the one. This is ridiculous. This is three straight drives that have started on the 1 yard line that you haven't been able to punch in. I mean, come on. Come on, you got to get touchdowns.
Get under center and quarterback sneak. Clay Travis had a stat last week of 44 quarterback sneaks on third or fourth and one. What do you? How many think you, they converted?
High.
What?
I would say over 75%.
Higher.
85?
Higher. 42 out of 44 they converted. Out of the first 44, that doesn't include this weekend. But before this weekend, 44 quarterback sneaks.
Did they try quarterback sneak?
Well, they did with Tom Savage, and he got concussed every time.
No, I mean last week, only the Texans kid. He had concussion. Matt Schaub had a Liz Frank injury. Remember that against Tampa?
Yeah, after that happened, everybody's, why are you putting him in danger? When was the last time you saw a quarterback get injured on a quarterback sneak?
It's pretty rare.
Other than Matt Schaub,
it's pretty
with
rare.
The ankle injury,
I am. But seriously though, I am waiting for them to. Bill O'Brien has look. This one's not that hard. They knew the Kiki QT play was coming again, but what you do with that is you assume they've seen the tape and they're going to play it, and you counter off of it. It's just, boy, he is. You know, I've always felt like O'Brien. After watching him last year, I felt like he had a pretty good feel for Deshaun and what to do offensively with Deshaun and. The real measure of a play caller is what they do on gotta have it situations. And I would call red zone gotta have it situations. And Deshaun was incredibly successful last year in the red zone. The rest of the team was not, but when Deshaun was in, they were incredibly successful in the red zone. This year, they're one of the worst teams in all of pro football, if not the worst team in pro football. I haven't looked at the numbers. At least they were in the midpoint of the I think there was one team worse. I want to say it was the Jets. They might be the worst team now because the Jets scored a bunch of points yesterday. Hey, this is unbelievable. And this really does get to it. Look, it's decision making for Deshaun, but this really is on Bill O'Brien. It really is right now at this point. Bill O'Brien, if you can't dial up plays that are winners from 1 yard out, if you don't have something, I don't know what to say. I mean, the one touchdown they had was offensive, was good throw, good catch by Newt.
Yeah.
Really good catch.
Yeah.
and that was great. Other than that, these field goals, this is a killer. And to think you can beat Jacksonville, who you don't match up well against anyway.
Says you.
Well, says well, all no. last year.
Okay, I want to see what Blake Bortles is going to do against this defense. Okay? Let's see. All right.
Hey, they got their own problems.
Yeah. Oh, no, they got plenty of problems over there. Listen, as crappy, and you beat the Colts, you beat the Cowboys, and you beat the Bills. You got an easy schedule because you were the crappiest team in the division. But you got an easy schedule. Listen, there's no reason that this team can't win the division now. There's no reason. They're tied for the division lead. They've got the easiest schedule. They can win this thing. They just got to play better football. And it's coming. I know Deshaun is going to play better than this. I know he is.
I don't think the tackles are, though. You're going to have to start rolling the pocket. You can't just sit there.
Right.
Because Deshaun doesn't.
But they're the same tackles as last year. It's the same thing as last year.
But he was
Bill O'Brien is going to learn from. He's going to go back and watch some tape of himself last year.
But you can't scramble into. Deshaun's not. His escape routes are not great right now. It's just really frustrating right now to watch. Lance says, I think Granada had one too many Coors Lights last night.
Mm.
This is when you didn't see the Josh. Nestor goes, he was definitely in triple digits. Seems like somebody was in double digits on the climbing on.
Well, I did climb on for, but I wasn't. I'm watching the game right now because I was listening to it. Sparky said, dude's not throwing.
Sparky climbs on too.
Well,
I don't know if
you
can trust Sparky.
Sparky said, it was a little alarming to me because Sparky says, he's about 3-4 miles an hour below where he should be.
Well, but see, he must have been trying to throw a different pitch because he threw the first pitch was 89. I'm like, what is this pitch?
Well, that was his off-speed. That's his off-speed pitch.
Oh, we got this. Hector Rondon is Latin Ken Giles 2018. Hector Rondon sucks his sweat.
Whoa. That's nope. Hey, I want to talk right now. Let's talk about something.
Sleeps.
No, let's talk something right now about your teeth. Listen, we're not in England. We take care of our teeth around here, okay? So do you take care of your teeth properly? Well, how about a toothbrush that's going to make you smarter at brushing your teeth? It's the Quip Electric Toothbrush. It's got sensitive sonic vibrations, gentle enough, and you know what? A lot of people, you brush your teeth too hard. My dentist once told me that. You brush your teeth. I'm old, and I really don't know how to brush my teeth. What is the proper way to brush your teeth? Well, this toothbrush teaches you. It's got a built-in two-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds, so you switch sides, okay? Upper right, lower left, upper left, lower right. You switch, and the timer tells you, are you brushing for 2 minutes, by the way? This toothbrush, the Quip toothbrush, will tell you when your 2 minutes is up. Automatically delivered. Those brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months. So you change them out for just $5. 3 out of 4 of us use bristles that are worn out and ineffective. You don't with the Quip toothbrush. You will love Quip. And they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25. If you go to getquip.com/John. Getquip.com/John. Right now, get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first real refill pack free. Getquip.com/John.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Downloaded today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Seems like he's done that a couple times every year that I've coached him, that we've been here. You know, he's very smart. I can remember back in One time we played the Saints, he had an idea what play was coming there, game-winning type play, you know. Same thing today. You know, he just had an idea, and he's been playing so long, and one of the reasons why is because of how intelligent he is, and made a great play right there.
That's Bill O'Brien talking about J.J.O. J.J.O. had at 12:35, a buddy of mine knows J.J.O. well, and I texted him at 12:35.
Are you talking about Dell, our producer?
No. I texted him at 12:55. Hey, J.J.'s playing well today.
Yeah, he is.
At 2:52. How you like him now? And he said Hall of Fame. He's not really a Hall of Fame.
I don't know about Hall of Fame,
but
he had a good game.
He had a really good game.
Kareem Jackson did too. Kareem's played well since he's had to step into that cornerback void. He's done a really good job.
Yeah.
Kareem has. So.
And not surprisingly, the defense is playing better.
Yeah, the defense is playing better. I still haven't seen Whitney. I saw Clowney a few times.
Yeah, we saw McKinney. We saw McKinney yesterday.
Yep. Whitney made a game-changing play yesterday.
Which one?
When Clowney knocked Josh Allen into Whitney, that removed Josh Allen from the game.
He did. It was Whitney who hit his elbow.
Mm. You know, I didn't see who hit it.
Yeah, it was Whitney.
I could see he was down and hurt, and
there was one
throw. That one's going to keep him out. I think Josh Allen's going to be out of the wild. Not that I care, but so the Texans are 3-3 right now.
Yeah, it's a 4:09 Central game. It's yesterday on the broadcast they said 4:09 Eastern, which is pissing me off now. They didn't say 103 miles an hour for Josh Jay. They said he was throwing 96, and now they say 4:09 Eastern, and it's 4:09 Central.
Did Sparks give you that one too?
Yeah, Fox gave me that one too.
The guy is drunk.
Yeah, not me. It's the guy on TV this time.
Well, they don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Yeah, it could be both of you.
It could have been both of us. Yeah. No. Well, I was on a
play. Game one for me was heavy with the vodka tonics. I'm going to go back to that for game three. I've got to. And I got to go back to where I watched game one, because I was at game two sober, and it was a loss.
Right.
Game one, less sober, W.
Well,
so I'll go back to where
I was. That or go to the game.
It's all earlier.
Or go to the game.
On Saturday, your wife went crazy because Texas almost lost to Baylor. Maybe you should.
They didn't almost lose. It wasn't really even.
Oh, really? Game. Wasn't that close?
Okay. How about we show a replay of that game for her, have her scream, and that'll lead to an Astros victory.
I've taped my wife a couple times, three times. Once when I had a Topo Chico explode in a freezer, glass Topo Chico. She was really mad, and I'm really mad that I taped it. Once when her team was a Texas-Oklahoma game, and I was periscoping her, and she said some ugly things to the team and then to me. And then against Baylor, she is screaming and yelling. All the kids have been kicked out of the house. They're all kicked out. And so I turned my little recording device on called my phone, and I captured her in a couple videos. One, she said, "I can't believe we're going to lose to Baylor." And then I only cut the Baylor part, and then she's yelling at the TV, and then she says an ugly word at the end. And then I catch her again. I'm trying to be sneaky and record her, and she sees me recording. She goes, "Lance, this is literally less than 40 seconds to go in the game, and Baylor's driving." And she said, "Lance, I swear, if you don't turn that frickin' phone off," she caught herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, "Come on." And she got up, and I said, "We're going to do it. We're going to win." She goes, "It's not we. You're not we. You're not Longhorn." And then I say, I wait, and I go, "What if I'm betting on them?" And that just sent her off the rails. And she came running over and slammed the door, like smashed the door into me. I had to just take off running.
Well, you lost that bet, didn't you?
Yeah, you would. Yeah, but he didn't really bet on him.
I didn't actually bet on him. But if I did, I would be we.
You'd be as upset as she was.
It'd be we. Like I was Marshall, go. Saturday, I was big into Marshall.
When it's your money on him, it is we. There's no question. That is we. If you put your money somewhere, it's we.
Yeah. Against Oklahoma, it was we.
Yeah, right.
Right? We. Well, second half over, but kind of the same thing.
Oh, yeah. We want you to score.
I was for Texas offense and Oklahoma.
Let's get Lincoln in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Lincoln?
Hey, guys. I'm trying to talk about the Texas game yesterday. The thing with Deshaun Watson, he did not look like the same Deshaun Watson from last week because of the hurt chest. I was my personal opinion that Bill O'Brien probably just should have taken him out for the remainder of the game so he wouldn't have gotten injured anymore and put in, like, Joe Webb or something like that, because Joe Webb was just doing really good during the preseason, in my opinion.
Did you say put in Joe Webb?
Put in Joe Webb? Is that your phone call, Lincoln?
He did say put in Joe Webb.
You want to put in Joe Webb over Deshaun Watson?
No, he believed Deshaun was injured and he wasn't his normal
self. I believe that's accurate. So, Deshaun was not in favor of leaving the pocket yesterday. He had business on his mind. He was like, I got my chest caved in last game. Got my head rattled, my chest caved in. I'm not scrambling for nothing game.
So the Bills said just eat these 7 sacks.
He did, but Deshaun said, you know what feels better? A sack than getting hit like he... Well, you saw what happened to the Cowboys?
You know how slow he was getting up yesterday?
That probably didn't feel great, but he had opportunities to run and get easy first down. Like, Deshaun was pretty hesitant to run, I thought, yesterday, when he had some opportunities to. And look, I like for him to win from the pocket, but he's not the quickest processor when it comes to getting it out quickly. And you can't hang... And this is a bad combination with these tackles. Like, you just can't hang on to it very long. I thought Davenport stunk yesterday. I did not think Davenport had a very good game at all. Jerry Hughes was around the quarterback a lot. You know, it's one thing to get run up and around and have guys make second effort sacks against you. It's another when they just demolish your edge, and which happened to Lamb a couple times too, and just plow right through your edge with a beeline to the quarterback.
The total for the Bills yesterday as far as their... destructive plays, 7 sacks, 14 and a half tackles for loss.
Yeah. Well, and they kept you. And again, in the red zone, the penalties, I mean, the sacks, the penalties, the tackles for loss, it's getting to the point of ridiculous now. But I thought Deshaun was holding, you know what, even if it is, you know, you got 2 seconds to make up your mind, Deshaun. You got to throw on schedule. You got to throw in rhythm. You can't hold it.
This isn't a secret anymore.
I thought he held it a few few of those sacks are on him.
They were.
I mean, it's not just Davenport. He's got to make quicker decisions. He's just got to. And if not, throw the ball away.
Me and KJ were up there in the press box talking about it. Just like there was a 3rd and 2 where Deshaun ended up taking a sack, and they showed a double A gap blitz, which were both linebackers lined up between center and guard. That's the A gap. And when you see that, whether they come or whether they back out, you know that your throw is going to be to the perimeter. You know your throw is to the perimeter, and Ryan Griffin ran a little, it was 2 yards ago. He ran a little 3 yard out, basically. It was an easy 3-step. It was literally just a turn and fire out of his break and lead him. And it would have been an easy completion. Deshaun didn't even look at that. Before the snap, he has to isolate and say, this is my target right here. It's a simple throw. I don't have to worry about the middle of the field or the linebackers. If the linebackers come, I'm getting it out quickly. If they don't come, I'm not throwing into dropped coverage, you know, into coverage that drops into space suddenly. And he just didn't see it, didn't understand it. So the things like that are frustrating me because that should have been an easy snap, step, throw, first down, move the chains. And instead it turned into a sack because he looked left and he kept looking left and then it turned into a sack. These tackles are not good enough for you to hang on to the ball. They're just not. And Bill O'Brien, if he knows that, you're going to have to start moving the pocket more. More play action, boot action, where he gets outside of the pocket. You're going to have to.
Yeah, but again, with the ribs, and it doesn't look like he wants to move. That, like you said,
How many sacks have they? I'm going to look this up.
How many times has he been sacked?
He's got to be up near the top, right? I mean, the Giants, it's Eli's probably first still. Because they allowed the most sacks.
Probably, but don't.
And everyone's asking, Lance, we got to pick up Eric Flowers, right? Eric Flowers.
Who's everyone?
Wait a minute.
Stop everyone. Don't say everyone.
Well, not everyone, but about 8 people on Twitter. He's got to be better, right? He was a former first rounder.
Those people are dumb.
He's cut in the middle of the year. He starts on the worst pass protection unit in the league, and he's a locker room lawyer. You don't want Eric Flowers.
No, nobody wants Eric Flowers. All right, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, Mito, you're going to be up first. Anybody else, 713-780-3776?
I know you do like, though. You do like Bill Advisor. So Bill Advisor is that company who for years and years, when I mean that, like 3 years now, they have been battling against the man, and the man being the people who are charging you outrageous amounts for your monthly bills.
And I've got a new bill advisor that I'm working with, and she was great this weekend. We were on the phone, and I said, let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at eliminating my home phone and just adding another cell phone for the kids at home when we're out of the house. And so she was pricing that. We were going through all that. She was going through different internet options for me to see what might make the best sense. She was already getting ready to go back and challenge something with my satellite television, because in 2 months there's a special promotion that she got for, that they got for me, that is going to expire, and so they want to be on top of that. That's the thing with bill advisors. They'll stay on top of what your billing structure looks like when your special deals are ending, so they can jump back in and negotiate for you. Again, Bill Advisor renegotiates your rates for cell phone, cable, satellite, home phone. They work with you on energy bills, on home security bills. I mean, they do everything. And a lot of times their savings on average is over $900. But to be honest with you, a lot of times the savings, like for me, are upwards of $2,000 and more. I saved $2,000 in the first year alone. Watch what they can do for you. Just text GO to 232323 and let Bill Advisor work on getting your bills reduced and putting more of your hard-earned money back in your pocket. It's BillAdvisor.com. Text GO to
232323. ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
They have a great program, great team down there. With a lot of momentum, you know, and like I said, it's a great opportunity for us. But right now, you know, I'm just trying to honestly recover, you know, get myself healthy, ready to play, and you know, watch this film, learn from this film, correct those mistakes that I made today and what we made on offense, and then you know, take it one day at a time. So the opportunity is there, but right now we got to focus on today, and once that time comes, take advantage of it and execute.
Keeping that same energy.
Is it
now time for us to hop back on the train?
No, we're not allowed. He already told you, you're not allowed on the train.
So, do you think they learned?
You're definitely never allowed on the train, Dale.
No, you're not on the train. Do you think they learned anything? How about that? And this is where the NFL sucks. You have to go to Jacksonville, and then you've got a Thursday night game. If you're going to play a Thursday game, you should play the Sunday at home. No question. I mean, because it's hard enough. But when you're traveling, they're not going to get back till 9, 10 at night. Give the team – hey, NFL, if you're going to be a-holes about this, make them play on Thursday night so you can make more money. Let the team that's going to play on Thursday play at home.
It's funny because Miami finished, which is their Thursday night game. They play the Lions at home. And so they'll be in at home before the Texans even land. From Jacksonville. Right. I think they play both at 12. And you would think home Thursday is an advantage. The Texans technically will have a shorter week than the Dolphins will.
Right. And yeah, they'll be at home, obviously. Yeah, so Miami has to travel.
They do, but.
But what? It's so stupid. Come on. This is not that hard, NFL. It's really not that hard. I'm surprised they didn't put him in London for this game. at Jacksonville now, are you thinking that you got a little bit of a. You learn something from how Dallas attacked him. Of course, you don't have Ezekiel Elliott, and Deshaun doesn't look like he's as mobile as he was before. I mean, Dak did pick up a lot of yards on the ground.
Well, they still do have Tyron Smith. I mean, they got better offensive line. I don't know. You go look at where
although their offensive line is not graded out that much better than the Texans this year.
You sure?
Yeah.
No. How's that even possible?
Just this past week, you weren't here. Read the offensive lines. The Texans were like 28th, and the Cowboys were.
Who was this?
26th.
Who's saying these
in the
things?
League? What do you mean? Who's saying these things?
Who's saying the Texans were 28th?
In their offensive line by sacks and here I can pull up the tweet. I retweeted it.
There's just no way. Although the Cowboys really haven't been dominant up front.
No, they haven't been.
But still the Texans are one of the worst.
Well,
I thought they did a good job of run blocking yesterday.
But Linehan did something smart. He put Dak outside. He made him He's a mobile guy. You know what? He's not a pocket. He hasn't been a pocket passer for the last couple of years. Put him on the run. Put him out and doing some different things. Take advantage of his athleticism. That's what they did. When the Texans did that as well, now they did it. Deshaun just took too many freaking hits. But Deshaun outside, Deshaun making a run-pass options is a much better option than Deshaun sitting in the pocket against the freaking Buffalo Bills getting 7 sacks.
Yeah. No, I think it's a bloodbath in Jacksonville. But that's because I just think it's such a bad matchup for the Texans. They just physically don't match up well against the bullies, and I think it will play out that way on Sunday. But we'll see. You do have a team directly. You know, you had a team that just had a lot of success. You got to go look and see what worked and see if they spotted a weakness that where you can attack Jacksonville. I mean,
yeah.
If there's anybody that's going to be successful game planning an offense and getting the plays called that will take advantage of another team's weakness, it's Bill O'Brien. And that's been proven.
Bro,
from the 20 to the 20, it's pretty good.
But don't you usually score when you get inside the 20?
Field goals. Deshaun does have 4 interceptions in the end zone this year, and they do have fumbles from.
Well, some of them were from outside the 20, though.
That's a good point.
They just happened to land in the end zone.
Let's get Mito in here. Hey, Mito, ¿qué pasó?
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Sweet baby Jesus. If Jadeveon Clowney gets another defensive penalty, they need to take $10 million out of his new contract every time he gets a damn penalty.
Oh, what does baby Jesus have to do with that?
Another false start. Another offsides in a critical situation.
Yeah, so they need to start taking money out of his contract every time he's his new contract that he's going to get every time he does that. And the same thing goes for Bill O'Brien. If he can't punch a man from the 1 yard line, then he'll start taking years off of his extension.
Why are you pocket watching these guys?
If that happens, he will be a lame duck by next week.
He can't be taking money out of guys' contracts.
Well,
then he wants years off his deal.
Here's something, then. Then don't keep being offsides. Then start calling some plays to get touchdowns. You know what? I'm with Mito. Let's start doing our jobs. You have one job, as Bill Belichick says. You have one job. Do that job. Your job, Bill O'Brien, is to call. Well, you have several jobs, and maybe that's the issue. Your job.
He's got too many jobs at the same time.
There really is going to need to be a look at a more creative play caller. And I'm not Mr. Yell About Play Calling guy. I think it's a lot of times it's overdone. But come on, if you can't punch it inside the red zone, then there's an issue.
I don't really care what you say.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Clowney is concerned, the lack of discipline with those offsides are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Why are the Astros not? I know that. Why is this turned into? We've had more Texans talk in this hour than Astros talk.
That's stupid.
There's a team that is a 3-3 blah team with nobody in the stands making any noise, playing Cotton Eye Joe and dumbass stuff like that. And then we got the red hot Astros with balls the size of beach balls that run around with wheelbarrows nonstop that split. Which I, by the way, I would have taken that split 1-2. I got greedy. I wanted. Once you beat Sale, I'm like, well, make this 2-0.
Well, didn't I tell you? You had to beat Sale because you weren't going to win.
You got the home field back.
You weren't going to win the price
game. That's what you were worried about, is getting the home field back for the Astros.
I thought you were worried about Price shutting them down.
You what?
I thought you were worried about Price shutting them down.
He did shut them down. Who won the game? That's what happened. No. Did I say you had to win the Sale game because you weren't going to win the Price game?
David Price
stinks. But the way it came about was not the way you said it would
come
about.
Yes, it's exactly the way
you see the way they're talking about.
He only gave up 4 and 2/3.
Ron Darling was
an awesome outing.
David Price knows he's been terrible. He knows he's an atrocity against mankind and a filthy piece of human garbage in the postseason. I'm like, give it to him, Ron.
Wow.
And he's like, but these are, you know, starts like this really will help him giving up, you know.
What? Four?
Four and runs.
And 4 2/3?
4 2/3. It's actually good for David Price. Like, well, this is a good outing for him.
Actually, it was, because for the first time ever, his team won.
Well, yeah, he didn't win.
He was 1-9 was it 1-9 or 0-10?
0-9, and the team was 0-10.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now he's 1-10.
They're counting it as a win for him.
No,
because they're like, well, he's probably never going to get one.
Not really. But what about Matt Barnes' pine tar guy? We'll do that on the other side.
Yeah, we come back. There is absolute video evidence of somebody legitimately cheating against the Astros in last night's game.
Yes.
I mean, right. You would say it's
It's not even arguable. It is not even arguable what dude is doing, what Matt Barnes is doing.
It's not even arguable what Men's Tee Clinic is doing, which is getting you back to where you used to be. Men's Tee Clinic says, look, you come in and let us get your testosterone checked. And it can be for anybody. You know, men approaching the age of 40 or over the age of 40, if you want to check out your testosterone level, they'll do it for you. It takes just minutes. And from there, what they can do is take your is get your levels, and where your levels of testosterone are can be very indicative of mental acuity for you. It can be very indicative of your energy levels on a daily basis. It can be very indicative of how your workouts are going for you, or whether or not you're getting benefits. It can be indicative of your drive at work or lack of drive. It can be the same thing could be said for your drive or lack of drive in a bedroom. The bottom line is Men's Tee Clinic gives you an opportunity to find out why you haven't had that same energy level and the same, you haven't felt the same for a while. Men's Tee Clinic can get it back for you. They can get you back to your norm for where your testosterone should be. And the energy level that you will have after that, and your workouts and the way that you feel, it's off the charts. Right now, I'm feeling great right now, making these 3 to 5 mile walks every single day, started adding weight training in. And when you have that energy level, it's great. I've lost 9 pounds. I jumped back on. I said, I'm going to start my regimen back up. And things are going great for me. The same thing can be said for you. Jump in. Find out how your testosterone is going. 4 locations in the Houston area. MensTClinic.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.